As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done! Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake, and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
We are very, very honored and happy to have you along. Ken, how was your week?
It was good. Very busy.
Busy by choice?
Busy by choice, but busy by clients calling me about mortgages. I actually have a closing this afternoon, which is always good for a Friday, so life is good.
Life is very, very good. Yeah. are having closings, so if you've not been in the mortgage world for a while and bought a house, that closing is when you actually sign the paperwork and they give you 3 inches worth of stuff that you're not going to read now, ever.
But you need to save it.
But you need to save it. Yeah, I got that. I understand all of that. But it's payday for Ken. So that's what mortgage people live for.
And the realtors, you know, as well.
Well, everybody.
Yeah, so it's a good day.
Everybody has a happy day, and somebody gets new keys, and somebody gets to give their keys away. Do you know that I bought a new house that has no keys?
Interesting.
They couldn't find them. They'd lived there for 12 years. They couldn't find the keys. We have to call a locksmith to come.
Oh, I thought it was going to be this high technology.
They want to do that, but no, that's not the case. No, it still has a door. It just has no key to go into said door. You know, crazy world we live in. We get so used to gadgets.
True.
Right? I mean,
so
it's all true. It's all about pushing buttons and doing all of that that other stuff. And
which is good when it works.
It's good when it works, but here's the deal. And it's what we're going to talk about on the show today. You know, we would like to just be able to push a button. You know, I've got a group of people a network that I'm in that talk about ELF, easy, lucrative, and fun. And if it's not those three, don't do it, right? Staples has got the easy button, right? You just push, I think it's Staples, you push the easy button and it's all done. And the problem with distribution planning, in my mind, retirement, is people think you push a button and it's done. Every time I log into my 401k, and Ken's getting his new 401k set up, every time I log into my 401k, it says, Joe, based on your age, retiring at this age, saving the amount of money that you're saving, here's how much income that you could have monthly at age 65. And I look at it and go, you know, that's easy, right? I want to push, that's easy. The problem is, I'm a registered investment advisor. I'm a fiduciary. I want to know where they came up with the number, because it's not right. And I can't shut it off. But everybody wants to make this look simple and easy. And if it were simple and easy, Ken, I wouldn't probably have 25 people running around this building.
True.
Right? I mean, I love them. I love my team. I love being able to hang out with them. They're great people. But there's a reason why I pay CFAs, EAs, hire CPAs, have chartered market technicians. There's a reason for that. And that it's not simple. There is no bloody easy button. It would be great. It would be great. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't work that way. Hey, stick around for the show. You got a question or comment, you can shoot Ken and I an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com or call us at 800-928-4001. We'll take a break and get right into the show.
Hi, I'm Ken Dilger, co-host of Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $390 million for families in 31 states. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and five critical elements of finance: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, and legacy planning. Each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. A Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 1-800-928-4001. A Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA, SBIC. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
We are happy to have you along. I am, I'm going to put my glasses on, Ken, and I know that doesn't happen very often because I'm vain, apparently. But I have often stated my dislike, disdain even, for the Internal Revenue Service.
Of course.
And somebody actually called me out on that and said, Joe, you should watch your words because I know you and I know that's not what you mean. And, you know, we talked about it and might have been a glass of wine involved. And so I wrote an apology letter. And I know this is sincere and it's going to sound like it's a joke. It's not. It really is honest. But I was told that I had never really explained where all this came from. So if you read my newspaper article, you can find it on our website at yourlifeafterwork.com. It's always on my LinkedIn page. That you can go there at Big Joe Clark, and of course it's in the Herald Bulletin on Sunday morning. So here it is. This is a letter of apology and explanation. Loudly proclaimed and often stated, I have boldly said I hate the Internal Revenue Service. The reality, Ken, is I love our country and the benefits it provides, including being able to make statements about the core funding structure, i.e. taxes. Taxes are a necessity for roads, firefighters, school, and military, and to all involved in those actions required to function and serve, you have my deepest admiration and appreciation. And I say that with every bit of humility. I watched my family as teachers and military, and I just thank you guys for that. So if I don't, quote-unquote, hate the IRS, why is it I'm so driven to fight taxation? I was quoted in the USA Today October 17th as saying, nothing will separate you from your retirement as quickly as the IRS. I said it, and I meant it, and it's what I've witnessed to be true over the last 31 years of my career. Truth be told, it isn't the IRS that really frustrates me. The true core frustration is that people, the taxpayers themselves, don't understand how their taxes work. Side note, so one of my favorite parts about the Super Bowl is the day before, when they would go in and ask you guys about money. You know, people making multi-million dollars a year and not being able to answer questions. That really drove me nuts. All right, back to the story. My family moved my junior year of high school, the beginning of my junior year. So in Muncie, I attended a high school where a good number of students drove nicer cars than the teachers. I actually had Greek and Latin derivatives my sophomore year in high school. And it was a very well, high-educated, high-octane, high-driven area. My debate partner and his sister were the first two sophomores as siblings to ace the SAT.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so very, very, very smart people, rich people, didn't necessarily appreciate a poor fat kid. We moved to a farm community, and I fell in love with farmers who seemed to be simple in need yet knew how to work hard. I'm all about that. This was much more suited for my personality. There were students who became friends, good friends, at that school and community. When I began to hear the horror of what happened when fathers and grandfathers passed away, I became not just frustrated, but heartbroken. Family farms were lost to the tax man, not out of lack of hard work, but rather a tax code that was clearly out of touch and how we should treat our neighbors. My lifetime objective or mission was set before me, and off I went in search of a solution. Now, just a little backdrop on that. Prior to 1986, Ken, so you were so young, it never affected you. My family had no money, so it didn't affect us. But you didn't have what's called unlimited gifting to your spouse. So if something happens to you today, your wife gets everything without there being any taxation at all. You can give stuff back and forth to each other. You can't give your IRAs or 401ks back and forth to each other, but you can at death. And there's no taxes at all. It's an unlimited marital gifting, right? Back then, you only had a certain amount of money that you had that you could gift your wife upon death. So if you had a family farm that had been in the family for generations and it was in the dad's name and dad died, mom had to get a loan to pay the estate taxes to be able to keep the property or had to be able to sell the property. To me, that just didn't seem right. And that's kind of what drove me. The pain, back to the story, the pain and disgust I felt for farms being lost and families destroyed caused me to loudly state that I hate the IRS. The reality is I hate the fact that families do not understand the impact on their retirement, charitable gifting, and many other facets of their lives as dictated by an ever-changing tax code. To be fair, the conditions that caused those families to lose their farms was somewhat rectified in 1986 under the changes during the Reagan administration. The event was years ago, but the scars persist, and thus my drive to educate people about their taxes and investments. in January, which TV is going to have me on, and they're going to say, Joe, what should our financial New Year's goals be for the year? And I'm going to say one more time, to learn your tax return, to understand how it works. You know, affect when you're in the mortgage world, it affects
correct.
How you're able to get people qualified to buy mortgages or buy, get loans. It affects me in terms of how people get money out of IRAs. We're distribution experts. You know, what you put the money in, you did a great job. How do you get it out? Back to the story. My deepest apologies to those I might have offended and by not properly stating the pain and assigning blame to the wrong area. It's neither the IRS nor the taxes that I despise. The monster in the closet is that we as taxpayers do not understand the ramifications of taxation on the processes we use and the decisions we make in many areas of our lives. My passion and is really to help rectify that confusion. So if you go to the Simon Sinek thing, and we've talked about this before, and I would strongly encourage any of you that have the ability to go to the TED video and type in Simon Sinek or The Why and watch that video. There's about three of them. One's like 7 minutes, one's 17. But it really changed my world when I was able to put into verbiage why I get up in the morning, why I'm doing this radio show. Nobody pays us to do this radio show, Ken. It's, you know, we do it every week and we put it out because my why is to educate people about their finances so they don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. And that so easily happens in dealing with the decisions around taxes, decisions around investments, decisions around estate planning. You know, and so we, when we look at those five critical elements, right, and that came from when I was teaching at Purdue, I broke down, you know, what do the kids need to learn, because they were getting a degree in financial planning that allowed them to challenge the board exam. And I said, what are the five areas that they really have to know in order to be able to help people? And that was what we call your life after work. Some people call it retirement planning. It's really about distribution. You know, how do you put the money in? How do you take care of it? How do you get it out? And most people haven't got to that point of how do they get it out yet. The second was the annual tax planning, so they had to learn to be able to read people's tax returns. The third was the investment playbook, understanding that, yes, there are things that are true, but they're not necessarily true in the present moment. They're true over 80 or 90 years. And, Ken, you know, we're young, but we don't have 80 or 90 years to use our money. Right? So, me talking about what happened in 1950 or 1920 or 1990 has very little to do with what's happening in 2018. The fourth is life happens. It's the good and bad and ugly of life. Things just pop up. And then the fifth is legacy planning. It's how do I want to leave my stuff behind for my charities, for my children, for my wife? You know, and you really have to think about this for a second. But at the center of almost every one of those issues is the IRS. You know, how is it taxed? How do I get money in the accumulation phase when you and I are starting out and you know we don't have a lot of money and we've got people we got to take care of and all of a sudden a car breaks down? Where does the money come from? You know, what is the penalty imposed? What is the taxation? And I bet if there's one single question that I have to answer more often than not for other people, Ken, it's, okay, Joe, I need $20,000 for a good thing or a bad thing. What account do I pull it from? You know, where should it come from? And the answer is not the investments. The answer always goes back to the tax return. You just have to understand it. So I apologize to any IRS people that I said anything that took it offensively. I don't hate the IRS. I hate the fact that people don't understand their money and don't understand the need to understand their taxes. Ken and I'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And we are happy to have you along. We're going to have a little bit of fun, but it's serious fun. It is important in this world of talking about the Federal Reserve, Ken, and interest rates rising and what that means. I'm going to ask you what's going to seem like an off-the-wall question.
Okay.
What does QE and chicken marsala have in common?
Good question. I have no idea.
Me either. but I got asked a lot of questions. The people who know me know that I love to cook. And I don't do it near as much as I used to because I can't eat as much as I used to. And it's hard to cook things you don't eat. But quantitative easing was a process or a structure that we put into place, the Federal Reserve put into place, after the market crash in late 2008 going into early 2009. And essentially what happened is the Federal Reserve began to try to pump money into the system. Okay, so easing, anytime you hear that, means that they've either lowered rates, which they did substantially, or they've put more money in the system for you to go spend, right? Because the theory, Ken, is if you have money, that if you have access to money, that you will spend more money. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about the Federal Reserve's logic, the best way that I explained it to the students at Purdue was to think about a fishing pole. So when Alan Greenspan or Ben Bernanke or Janet Yellen or, you know, the Fed chairman today, Powell, when you lower the fishing pole and you lower interest rates, think about being up at Lake Tippecanoe if you're an Indiana person, right? The little bluegill will attack your hook even if it has no worm, right? You lower the hook and the fish bite. You raise the pole up and the fish can't get to the hook and they don't bite. And so the Federal Reserve has two mandates that it really talks about. One is to maintain proper inflation. The second is to maintain full employment. So where does inflation come from? The theory is that inflation comes from there being too much money chasing too few of goods, all right? So the Federal Reserve believed in their heart of hearts in 2009, 2010, that when they put money into the system, that Ken would go out and spend more money, all right? Now, the challenge with this is that when you get to be, I'm 51, I'll be 52 Christmas Eve. When you get to be my age, just because I have more money doesn't mean that I need more couches, more TVs, more washers and dryers, more blenders, right? And so instead of people going out and spending more money, which is what they thought, what actually happened was the stock market went up and people's retirement accounts went up. So it was a purely demographic setting of what was taking place and transpiring. That's what quantitative easing really was. So they bought bonds and they bought stuff off of Wall Street that nobody else wanted. And they pumped money into the system that they thought you would go and spend, but you didn't spend it. Now, what does that have to do with chicken marsala? So I was on the cover of the IBJ probably in 2010 or 11. I don't remember the date. And I used to go to people's houses. If they opened up big enough accounts, I would go to their house and cook. Okay? And if you know anything about people, so when I did that, there are people who can't imagine somebody else cooking in their kitchen. There are people who could just really care less, and there are people who invited the whole family, right? So, I mean, I would cook for a lot of people, and it was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoy that part of life and doing it. But if you think about a person who's scared to cook, right, they follow the directions like nobody's business. I mean, if it says a level teaspoon of something, you know, they got a scraper and they're scraping off that teaspoon. I mean, they follow the directions like you can't even imagine. My wife says, why do you always have to monkey with it? You know, and that's because that's the art. Here's what I know, Ken. When I make bad food, and believe me, it's happened. I've never done it at somebody's house. But when I make bad food in my own house, I can order pizza. Right?
Pizza's always good.
The one thing I try to remind people about the retirement is they only get one shot. You only get one shot at it, right? You don't get to order pizza. Hopefully you have enough money in retirement that you can buy pizza, right? But if you screw it up, if you monkey it up, you only get one shot at it. Cooking, you can mess up all the time. Who cares? You can order pizza, right? So back to the chicken marsala. So I would give everybody the directions, the instructions, if you will, that I use, the ingredients, right? And it clearly said to use like a cup and a half of flour in the recipe that I would make, depending on how many pieces of marsala I was making. And I would cut open the top of the flour bag, and I would dump all of the flour into the bowl. And some people were silent. Some people would laugh. The people who are cooks, their eyes are real big, and they're going, you're ruining it, right? Because you've got a certain amount of seasoning that's going in the flour, and you just dumped all of that flour into it. Here's why QE had an issue. Here's why quantitative easing didn't work quite as well as people thought it would. It's not how much flour is in the bowl. It's how much is sticking to the chicken. Right?
Correct.
So when I put the flour in, even though there was that mass bowl, when I dumped the chicken breast into it, and then I put it in the oil, or the butter in my case, it was not the amount of flour that was in the bowl. It was the amount that stuck to the chicken. QE failed in one aspect because just because there was more money in the system, if they couldn't get you to spend it, then it didn't go via loans to the banks, where we can talk about a thing called the horn, where you're trying to take a dollar at the bank and leverage it because they can loan it out many times more than they have for $1. You didn't have all of that happening because people didn't spend money. The financial concept is called velocity, and we just had no velocity, and they couldn't figure out why. But it's because there was no, it doesn't matter how much money you put in the bowl. It doesn't matter how much flour is in the bowl. It's how much is sticking to the chicken. So today we live in a very interesting time. The Federal Reserve is pretty much committed to raising rates. And they're not going to raise real quickly. By the way, they are still way below what we would call neutral, right? They're still way below the average trend, Ken. So you can look at your... Ken's in the mortgage business, so he helps people with homes and things like that. You can tell your people with a straight face that the interest rates are probably going up. When we do business loans at the beginning of the year, the AFR rate, which is the essentially the least amount of rate I can charge for a midterm. So if I was going to loan you something, sell part of my practice to somebody, the least amount of interest I could charge you is 1.9%. Today, it's 2.4, and that number is just going to continue to climb. And when you think about, you know, Joe, that's 50 basis points or 0.5%. That's not that big of a deal. Believe me, when you're talking about big dollars, it's a very big deal. And the difference between the mortgages, I've got a mortgage on two different houses, and I don't live in both of them. One of them somebody else lives in. I'm just selling it to them. But one's at 2.85%, and 18 months later, the other one's at 4.4. You know, it's a very, very different world that we live in. And when you're talking, again, about sizable sums of money, and that's all relative to everybody, but when you're talking about sizable sums of money, those interest rates matter. In Ken's world, what matters critically is whether or not the income payment is there to be able to satisfy the bank on the debt to credit ratio, because the it's all based not as much on how much a house costs, but what the monthly payment is. That's just part of the deal. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com, or give us a call, 800-928-4001. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last three decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
You like business content? I mean, if you didn't like business content, you wouldn't be listening to this show, right? What if I can give you even more of what you like? Now, we've never met, but I'm willing to bet you are very busy. Between your work, family, and outside commitments, this little car ride is your time to catch up on your favorite show. But do you always get to tune in? Exactly. Well, now there's a business club with you in mind. BizVod is the place for business videos on demand. We have partnered with this show to provide you more of the content you like. The best part? It's all on demand. That means you can log in anytime from any device and watch shows that answer all of your business questions. For a limited time, you can try it for free for 30 days. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code radio. That's BIZVOD.com, promo code radio.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. 529s. It almost sounds like a play. You can almost hear Peyton Manning, you know, Omaha, Omaha. Now, 529. So I got a confession that I have to make, Ken. And we are fee-based financial planners. I'm a legal fiduciary. I have to treat your money as if it were my money and we were in the same situation. Period. End of discussion. No debate about it. Am I always right? Probably not. Right? The double curse of knowledge is I don't know what I don't know, and I don't know what you don't know.
Correct.
Right? That's the double curse. But going back to that first curse, we live in an ever-changing environment with things happening around us all the time. There's a reason I have 25 people on our team at the Financial Enhancement Group, and that's because you can't keep up with everything all of the time. It just, you'd like to, but I have other people who have to research stuff, and then we come together as a planning team to be able to put it together. So I'm a fiduciary. I have to serve with your best intentions based on my best knowledge. So you should always strive to find people, in my opinion, who have the best of intentions and the most access to knowledge. It's just a good formula, I think, for success. So here we are with the 529, and we're sitting down with the CPA last year doing our taxes for the firm, and I made $9,000 in commissions. Now let's review. I'm fee-based. How in the world did any commissions get inside of my company? Well, I've got securities licenses. I have them because you guys who hear me on the radio will call in and say, Joe, somebody sold me this variable annuity, or somebody sold me this. And I have the licenses so that we can service annuity products and take care of people. We just don't sell them. Just don't believe in it. So where in the world did $9,000 in commissions come from? Well, it turns out there's this cute little place called Indiana College Choice. Now, when we talk about 529s, you need to understand, I'm going to say 529, but what I'm talking about is the Indiana College Choice program, okay? So a 529 per the tax code allows you to put money into a container, if you will. Think about an IRA or an HSA. This is a 529. It's designed for education. Until last year, it was always designed for higher education, meaning, you know, college, tech school, something of that nature. Now you can literally use up to $10,000 a year, K through 12. Indiana has signed off on that as well, okay? So it is good in Indiana. It wasn't originally, is now, but you can use it for education. So you can put in money and pull money out, including the growth, tax-free, as long as it's used for education. Now, you do not get a tax deduction to put the money inside of a 529 plan. However, sports fans, in Indiana, we have the College Choice 529 program. So you have to make sure you're using that one, not one of the mutual fund companies. You can put up to $5,000 a year, Ken, and since you're paying tuition for your daughter, pay attention.
Right.
You can put in $5,000 a year into the 529 plan. And as long as the plan is open at the end of the year, meaning you leave at least $100 mm-hmm. in it, you can literally pull out $4,900 this year to use to pay tuition this year, and you get a $1,000 Indiana state tax credit. Now remember, the difference between a credit and a deduction is the deduction is the reduction based on your tax rate. So the higher your tax rate, the better a deduction would be. A credit is dollar for dollar. Doesn't, as long as you pay $1,000 to the state of Indiana and you put $5,000 in that puppy, you can take $1,000 straight off your Indiana tax return. Now, if you don't pay $1,000 to the state, doesn't work so well. Okay. So where did the $9,000 commission come from? Right. I went to College Choice, and they, I honestly, seriously believe that they told me And these are great people. I've never seen an organization that is so easy to work with. I got into a discussion with a CPA who was wrong about whether or not you could use a gift to go into it for an annual exclusion. And I called the 529 plan, and you know, random guy answers the phone and says, well, if you refer to page 49, section 2, I mean, they just know their stuff. These are great, great people. But as a registered investment advisor, we can buy things at net asset value all day long, right? Now, we don't usually do that, but that's what – there's no commission that's involved. We pay whatever the trading cost is, but we don't pay commission. Well, you have two choices at Indiana College Choice. You can either log on as Ken Dilger and go in and open up your own account, which takes us on average about 15 minutes, right, to do.
Mm-hmm.
We can open up your own account, right? Easy as pie. As your financial guy, I don't get your information. I don't have access to it. I can't manage the money, but that's okay. It's not that tough. It's not like we're looking at 5,000 choices, and it's not like it's $1 million, right? So you're the only one who can see it, so you have to bring the statements to the meetings if you want anybody to look at it. Other than that, bada boom, bada bing, no cost, no charge, except for their internal expense. On the other side is for advisors to use, which is what we did and where we went. And believe it or not, they pay me 4.5%, just like it was you were buying a mutual fund on every dollar you put in. So Ken puts in his $500, Joe gets paid $250. This is just absurd that anybody would get $250 for working for 15 minutes. And we all know it's not Joe working, it's one of my paraplanners.
Right, of course.
Right? So we've stopped all of that as quickly as we possibly could. But these are things that people don't necessarily understand about their money that they need to know in terms of how it's working. So let me say this one more time. A 529 is a program that allows you to put money into it for anybody in your bloodline to be able to have education K through 12 limited up to $10,000 a year, or education above that without really any limit. In the state of Indiana, you can use the College Choice program that allows you to get up to a $1,000 tax credit. It's 20%. Up to $1,000 tax credit based on your contribution. So Ken is going to go home. He's going to put $5,000 in the account. When he goes to do his taxes, his CPA is going to say, hey, you've got a 529 tax credit from the Indiana State College Choice. We're going to take $1,000 off what you pay to the state of Indiana. Ken's going to say, this is groovy. Now, there's some problems with 529s. One is the investment choices are limited. You don't really expect a lot of growth out of these. They're much better than they were when they first started in Indiana, but they're still not exceptional, you know, relative to what we can do as registered investment advisors in other areas. But when I can give somebody a 20% guaranteed return, you know, put in 5,000, get 1,000 off, that when I can guarantee somebody a 20% return, provided they pay $1,000 of state taxes to the state of Indiana, this is a no-brainer. Now, one of the challenges with the 529, however, is there is no way to get the money out. Every now and then I hear somebody on the radio or even in print that says, well, if you don't use it, you can turn it into an IRA. No, you can't. It's a 10% penalty on all of the growth that you pull out for anything other than higher education. But you can open up an account for your daughter, use it for her kin, and if she doesn't need to use it all because she got scholarships or grants or whatever and they happen to be, you know, you keep it around, and then you can use it on your grandkids later on. You can use it for you. I don't know what your life looks like in other areas. I go back to school every now and then. I do a lot on iTunes University, where there's no degree, but it's free. But I've taken classes in some Bible-type classes at AU here in our hometown of Anderson, Indiana. And I've also taken, when I taught at Purdue, I took kids to Italy to a cooking school. To teach them about foreign economics and how co-ops worked and how the exchange rates worked and all of that. And they could have used their 529s to be able to subsidize part of that trip because it was indeed higher education. 529s, they're great plans. Understand, College Choice is one particular 529. They're not all work that way. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark along with Ken Dilger. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ken Dilger, co-host of Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $390 million for families in 31 states. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and five critical elements of finance: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, and legacy planning. Each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. A Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 1-800-928-4001. Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA, SBIC. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's Biz TV on your time.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. 800-670-2142. That's 800-670-2142.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now, with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. Hey, there is a great site out there called Investopedia. Somehow or another, I got ranked as one of their top 100. People respond, write in questions. We respond. I usually try to pick out a few of those to good ones for the radio. So Ken is going to fire away and we'll try to get you some help here right away.
All right, first question. Should I invest or put extra money toward my mortgage to pay it off early?
Great question. So how would you tee that up, Ken, if somebody asked you that? Because I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, definitely. I would say yes. And in my experience...
Yes, which? Would you pay off the mortgage or invest?
Oh, should I invest or put extra towards my mortgage? Oh, good question.
Yeah. So what's the formula?
Well, I'll go with the second question. Yes, it is good to say you make one extra payment per year over a 30-year mortgage. It cuts it down for about 2.5 to 3 years off a 30-year mortgage.
It's a lot more than people think.
So the biggest question is, if you're at 3.875, which is this here, if you can make more money in the market, let's say you make 4.5 or 5%, I would say you invest more money in the market because your interest rate is only 3.875.
Well thought out, and that's exactly the answer. So, again, always start with the tax return.
Mm-hmm.
Always start with the tax return. So question number one is, can they deduct the mortgage interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear that, people are going to go, well, of course you can deduct mortgage interest. Yeah, but most people won't, because the standard deduction is now $24,000. You're limited to $10,000 state and property taxes. You know, so unless you're charitable gifting and your mortgage interest and that 10 grand, if you happen to be there, take you over 24, you're going to take the standard deduction, meaning mortgage interest doesn't help. But you teed it up exactly correctly. What you need to do is to answer this question is to have an assumed rate of return that you believe you can get. Because when you pay off debt, regardless of what debt it is, doesn't matter if it's car payment, doesn't matter if it's credit card, doesn't matter if it's your brother, whatever debt you pay off where you're paying interest on that debt is equal to a guaranteed rate of return. Right? So
correct.
If I've got a mortgage at 4%, we'll use simple numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a mortgage at 4%, then I can deduct, that's a nice thing that I can deduct it if I'm using the itemized deduction. On the other hand, I also have to make money that is taxed at essentially the same rate. So when you say I'm going to make 6%, understand that 6% is getting taxed at some point, either tax deferred in an IRA later on, or taxed to me today if I'm putting it into a Roth or into a retail brokerage account. right? But what you're trying to do is come up with that risk-free rate that you believe that you're going to earn, take into consideration the tax consequences, and then make the decision which one's right. It's a different answer for both people, but for different people, but it is a good use of capital. If you're going to keep your money in the bank, if you're going to keep your money in the bank at 0% or even at 2%, pay down the mortgage.
Correct.
If your average rate of return in the market you think is 8%, then you probably want to put it into the market. Next question.
All right. Why do people rebalance their portfolios?
Great question. What does rebalance mean, Ken?
I would say you take money from one investment and put it into another investment based on how well that investment is doing, or maybe how different sectors of the market's doing.
So let's think about this as football. For those of you who don't know, Ken played a tight end in the NFL for 10 years. So here's what happens when it's time to renew contracts, right? I take the best tight end on the team, and I give them less money, and I give more money to the bad tight end. Is that what happens?
Nope.
No. Why is that?
Because the good tight end is more valuable.
Right. We reward success. Okay? So here's what somebody came up with along the way. And I'm not 100% opposed to rebalancing, for the record, if it's done meaningfully and well thought out. But it is exactly the opposite of what we just talked about. It's exactly the opposite of what we talk about in the Bible. The concept of rebalancing is you take from what did well and you give to what did less. So let's say you've got money in stocks and you've got money in bonds. It's more complicated than that. And stock market does real well and the bond market doesn't. Rebalancing says you go in and you take money away from the stocks that did well and you buy more bonds so that you keep the same percentages. And it may be systematized. It may make sense on paper. But when you look at the shorter term economy, rebalancing is not something that we do as registered investment advisors. We take care of more than 900 families. A lot more than $370 million across the country. We think about this stuff a lot, and so we're very proactive in terms of making decisions, whereas an individual may not be. But a rebalance is one of those options you may very well have on your new 401k plan, and that's why people do it. They want to make sure that they don't get out of whack, where they have all of their money in stocks and very little in bonds.
Gotcha.
Next question.
All right. How do we determine which financial firm is best for managing our money?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
That's a yeah.
I'm interested to hear your answer on this one, Joe.
So when you think about a financial firm, you really have three parts that you have to examine. First is the custodian. So a custodian is who really holds the money. Is it Fidelity? Is it Schwab? In our case, is it TD Ameritrade? We have to go through every year. My compliance guy has to go through every year and prove why we have money at TD Ameritrade as opposed to one of the firms that you hear on TV all the time. We have to prove that it's in the best interest as fiduciaries for our people. The second thing that you want to really think about is the company. Now, I will skip over that because what the first thing that most people really think about is not the custodian, is not the company. They think about the eyeballs that are in front of them.
Correct.
Right? And I always told my students at Purdue, if you want to start a financial relationship with somebody, it takes four things. First of all, do they like you and trust you? And because of Madoff, because of Shrinker, because of all the idiots in the world, most people don't get to the other three anymore. But it really, your formula really ought to be, do I like you and I trust you? Because you don't want to work with somebody you don't like.
Correct.
And you sure don't want to work with somebody you don't trust.
True.
Right? The second one is, do you think they know what they're talking about? Right. The third one is, do you understand their process? And that is critical. And then the fourth is, do you need their process? Okay. So when people sit down, I've told people before, you really ought to ask about my balance sheet. If you knew the number of people that are in the financial services world that are broke, literally broke, it is a fair question. What have you done with your money? Show me that you're saving. Show me that, that you're doing this appropriately and living the life that you've talked about. I think that is a very fair question for somebody to ask. But understanding that process, because it's more than, I'm not here 365 days a year, right? I'm not going to be here 50 years from now, most likely, talking on this radio, teaching people about money. And you really don't want to be moving your money around unless there's with a definite purpose. So especially when it comes to distribution planning, especially when it comes to getting the money out, you really want to make sure that you have a firm, a group of people who are connected, who work as a team, who follow a process, who don't willy-nilly it, who aren't trying to sell you things that benefit them, right, that are paying attention to your unique situation and structure. So again, I would look for somebody who has a process that they can explain. Make sure you like them and trust them. Make sure that you understand that they are part of a team component because they won't be there forever, and make sure that it works for you. Great question, Ken. Thank you. And thank you for Investopedia for that. Hey, you've been listening to Consider This. Ken and I have had a great time today. Sure appreciate you coming around and the emails, the questions, the comments. Along with those lines, send me an email. ConsiderThis@YourLifeAfterWork.com and have an outstanding Thanksgiving Day.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.